Welcome to...
Or welcome back to Dark Room Reviews.
My name is Ginger.
And I'm Matt.
In this week's episode of Horror Movie Reviews, we'll be changing it up a little. We're still going to be doing a full review of the Blair Witch Project with our special guest speaker, but due to scheduling, we thought we'd give you a little intermediate episode.
Intriguing.
Yes. So this is going to be a little chit-chat, just a casual talk about our top five and bottom five horror movies.
We want to give you guys the movies that we either strongly recommend or we strongly recommend that you avoid.
Yes.
So let's dive right in.
As always, who are we? Well, I'm an airline pilot by day.
Kind of.
Sometimes, outside of COVID. And a self-proclaimed film buff by night. And my love of horror movies started young, super young. And we're always looking to continue the conversation, or debate, if you will.
Well, and as you know, we love having these little debates, because unlike Ginger, I've worked in the film and TV industry working on some horror movie series myself. And unfortunately, as you've probably noticed in my commentary, I'm a little picky about some of the technical issues. So,
the great debate lives on. All right, so instead of giving you a list of our top five and bottom five picks in that order, what we're going to do is do a little bit of back and forth. So we're going to start with the number five on the good list, and then go to number five on the bad list, and literally work our way up to
the best
and the worst.
It's going to be a great side-by-side comparison. I'm excited for it.
There's also some honorable mentions and some dishonorable mentions.
As well, just before we get started, our movies here are not going to be like TV series or, you know, really cheesy B-level movies, because, you know, those are in abundant numbers. We don't have time to go through all of our B-level movies that just don't have great budgets, great cast.
The bottom list, we don't want to surprise anyone by people thinking, oh, there's way worse movies out there.
And yes, there are.
There are. There definitely are. These are more like bottom picks because they're so disappointing, because they had all the capability, the budget, the actors. They have all these things to make an excellent movie, and even the source material. But they didn't.
Or the movies that started off really great, but then they just lost you.
Is trash.
That's what we're going for. The movies that you're most amped up to see.
And the most disappointed about.
But then the most disappointed to watch. And don't worry, we watch them all for you.
Yeah,
so you don't have to.
Exactly.
Well, let's start with our top five. Let's give us everyone a little drum roll. I will insert sound effect here. Yeah. Our first one is The Autopsy of Jane Doe, coming in at number five for our top five. This was released in 2016 and directed by Andre Overdell. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name.
Probably are butchering that name.
It's fine.
When I came across this movie, I didn't know what to expect. It was not really advertised to me in any way. It was actually just a friend who had watched it and said, like, hey, you have to watch this movie. It's got a great little twist in it. You'll thoroughly enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's how you advertise it to me.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. So again, I mean, we've talked about this before. This podcast has spoilers, so we're just gonna say it. The really awesome part of this movie is who you find out who Jane Doe is. And the way in which they go about finding out who this dead girl is through an autopsy. And the, I don't know, pathologists, I guess, the doctors who are doing this autopsy really come up with this very clever way of leading you to...
There's weird things that happen. It's kind of interesting because it, similarly to what we've talked about in horror movies that we like, it has elements of different things. Like, it's psychologically thrilling. It has some gore. It has a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes you down this weird curvy path of, like, is it a haunting? Is it this? Is there something else going on?
Yeah.
And that kind of being on the edge of your seat feeling for the most of the movie until it really clicks in at the end. And then again, similarly to some other movies we've watched, it's just pure horror at the very end because you know what's going to happen.
So we'll just say it, and for anybody who does not want to hear what the twist ending is,
you can skip now and watch the movie.
Yeah, skip now and watch the movie, but for anyone else, keep listening. So the big reveal is that Jane Doe, the dead body that they're doing the autopsy on, is essentially
an old Salem witch.
And the really cool part about it is that they actually, in a roundabout way, kind of tell you that the townspeople actually created her as a witch. They believed in her witchcraft so much that they almost made her a witch in death. Which is a really interesting spin on the whole Salem witch trials thing. Which, as we know, nobody was actually a witch. They were just, people were accused of witchcraft being involved with Satan in those times, and then really for the purpose of, you know, someone would be jealous of somebody else's success, right? That was the whole, really, that's the whole thing behind the Salem witch trials and other witch trials in other places, really, if we're being honest. It's a really interesting take on it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And when you actually look at the production value of the movie, the way that they kind of came up with the storyline, it's a unique storyline. It's not been done before. It's still very modern, because you'll find out a little bit later, some of the movies that we're going to kind of, that jumps into our five dishonorable mentions here, our top bottom five.
Yeah.
Our top bottom five?
Our bottom five? How do we say that?
I don't know.
Our picks for bottom five.
There we go.
That's how we say that.
And that leads us into our other movies there, which we'll get to very quickly, but there's, it doesn't make it seem dated, or doesn't make it seem that it's, you know, they're trying to hold on to a cliche or hold on to a really old story.
They trope, made a bad it, horror movie trope.
Yeah, they've kind of made it their own, which is really cool. That's kind of hard to do.
There's not a lot of jump scares in this movie.
Nope, only a few, but a lot of good twists. There's a few, I'm not going to give out all of them, but like that big one that we mentioned is there. And there's a few other things in terms of characters that end up getting involved that may or may not be there. There's some like weird hallucination stuff.
Yeah.
Really worth a listen. Worth a view.
Worth a view. Now, what did you think of the ending of that movie? Because, to be fair, it leaves it open for a possible sequel.
It does. And I do wish there was a sequel. That's one thing I do wish there was, like, another thing that you knew was going on. Granted, I know that they might, it might turn into something else, like a Paranormal Activity, which didn't actually make either of our lists.
No.
But similar to Paranormal Activity, where you get some good ones, but then you get some
not so good ones. Yeah,
I think as much as I would have liked a sequel for it, I think they tied it up really well.
It is really still great as a standalone.
As a standalone piece, it still is creepy enough. You know that it might be the same thing but different. Mm-hmm. Like it is very interesting where they've kind of completed it yet also left it open. Now that being said, that's not true of the bottom fifth movie we have.
Okay, so now we're on to bottom five. Funny, we were just talking about witches because the movie is
The Witch.
This
might come to a surprise for you. I know a lot of people really do like this movie.
Oh man,
so I'm sorry. Yeah. It is.
So just to be clear, this is the independent film that came out 2015. It was written and directed by Robert Eggers. I hated it. I can say with
saying it right out there.
With so much confidence that I hated it. And the reviews are phenomenal.
Well, it made it to TIFF. I mean, shout out to the Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah, Toronto Film Festival.
May or may not be happening this year anyways. No. But it made it to TIFF. It got really great reviews. And be fair, technically,
yes,
it is a very well put together film, except for the audio editing.
Oh, I cannot stand the audio. So, okay, we're jumping ahead here. There's a couple things wrong with the audio. So, let's listen really quickly.
Let's just do very technically first. So, technically, the movie is shot very well. It's very clean. It does have a very independent storyline film, which is not bad. Mm-hmm. And other than that, like, the score is
Nice. It adds to it.
It's a nice little classical electronic mix. It's a bit more atmospheric, which I do appreciate.
Two main problems with it. So, again, this is, they actually call it, like, it's a New England folk tale. That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's about early settlers in New England.
Who are
Puritans.
Yes.
Okay, so they're puritanical. And the whole premise of it is that this family has been, they've ostracized themselves from the rest of the town.
Yeah, the parents essentially have kind of almost pissed everyone off in the town for their Puritan beliefs.
For being too Puritan, which is crazy.
Which is usually doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and they decide to cut ties from the town and just basically find a piece of land and work it themselves and not be associated with any town. Now, you can imagine how tough that would be in the, it's supposed to take place in the 1600s. That would be unbelievably difficult. And it is. Like, they go there and they struggle.
But then these weird things start happening to them. The baby goes missing.
Yeah, so
they can't find the baby.
They've got one, two, three, four, five kids. They've got like five children. And their youngest, the whole thing sets off by the baby going missing.
Yeah.
And you, as the audience member, get let in that it's a witch.
Like, right off the bat. They don't hide it.
No.
They just tell you there's a witch.
Yeah, a witch takes the baby.
And the witch took the baby and, like, cuts it up. And the baby's dead.
And
hella
you're
dead.
Still, you're dead. Deader than dead. And you're still thinking, this had some potential to be a great
movie. Oddly enough, the first time you saw this movie, you don't even remember seeing those scenes.
No. So the cut that I saw didn't have any of the scenes.
Any of the scenes with the actual witch, which is kind of funny because then you're like, what was the whole point?
Well, and then you get to the end. Then you get to the end, and pure fuckery ensues because basically everybody in the family dies. This is what happens. Is that
it's a Shakespeare play?
Everybody in the family dies, and all that's left is this poor teenage girl
who was blamed by the family for being a witch.
She was accused of being a witch, and the whole time you're thinking, no, she's not a witch. It's just the typical.
It's the typical witch hunt that we just talked about.
Thing. Yeah, she's not really a witch. She hasn't done anything associated with witchcraft. You're just thinking, oh, she's just being wrongfully accused, and then that's what's going to come out at the end. No! What came out at the end is the very end scene. She stands there talking to a goat that turns into
the literal devil
or demon. I'm not really sure, but devil or demon turns into a person.
She signs a contract with the devil.
Yeah. Then she's
to become a witch.
She's led into the woods and finds a literal coven of witches that are levitating. I mean, what? Anyway.
It just came out of left field. You're like, okay, so she was a witch, but only because it's so convoluted.
It's convoluted. So, anyway, sorry. Getting back to the audio part, I had to give the brief overview so that we can talk about how bad the audio is. Because they speak in old English.
The entire movie.
What went we out into this wilderness to find? Leaving our country, kindred, our fathers' houses. For what? For the kingdom of God. Let us pray.
The entire movie. And not only that, but they mumble through the entire movie. Oh, it's awful.
I don't know if they just had a bad editor or they just didn't do a good job on the ADR replacement. So for those of you not too technical into it, most movies have what's called dialogue replacement. Yeah. And what this is like the actors will come back in to a studio because there's too much
lines.
Yeah, because there's too much noise on set. Mm-hmm. It's not efficient. So what you are seeing on the screen and what you are hearing are not the same takes of those actors saying their lines in that take. They actually redid all of it in a studio and they synced it all up to picture after. Now, that in itself is a hard thing to do, but I think what ended up happening was this might work great for a theater that has a professional sound system, but the mastering and the EQing where they should have balanced it out a little bit. So the highs and the lows of the actual mixed track.
God.
So the loud sections are way too loud.
Yeah, the background score is deafening.
But then
loud.
The other times where it's just dialogue, it's way too quiet.
Whisper quiet.
It's whisper quiet. And unfortunately, with the timbre of their voices, especially the male father character,
the father,
he has a very deep voice. So when he's talking, it just sounds like this, and you can't hear him the entire time. And the whole movie.
And
unfortunately, it's one of those movies, but it's an hour and a half long. You feel like you sat there for three.
Yes.
And unfortunately, like, I couldn't even enjoy the content of the movie because I was so bored.
It's so boring.
I was legitimately bored the entire movie. Being like, oh, I am not hearing anything.
Yep.
then I'm being deafened.
And quite frankly, because there's not a whole lot of effects and things going on, really the cleverness of the movie is the subtlety in their conversation.
Which you're missing because it's in God. Old English and you can't hear it.
Yeah. And like, you know what? I'm all for the authenticity. I think that's great. It was very ambitious.
It's a very artsy style film.
It is very artsy. It's very ambitious to try and make it as genuine as possible. I think that's really cool. It's a great idea. And I think
we may actually have a better opinion on this if we actually saw it in a theater, which had a better sound system to be equipped for this type of thing. Unfortunately, if you're watching at home on Netflix or anything like that,
you're cranking the volume up to 60 and then you're turning it down to, like, low. Like
someone screwed up either in the upload or in the actual editing of it, but it's just, it needed to be EQ'd and mastered, so it just had a little bit more balance in the volume. It just didn't end up going there for me. So that's just that, our take on The Witch there. And other than that, like, the storyline's actually not too bad. That's why we ranked it at number 5. It's not our favorite, but it's
not the worst thing ever, but
we'd skip it. It's not worth the hype. All right, moving into our next on the top list, getting in at number 4, we have Midsommar.
Okay, so this was, again, directed by Ari Aster. It came out in 2019, and both Matt and I are in the love it category for Midsommar. We understand. This is a polarizing one. This one does not necessarily make everybody's top list. For us, it does.
I think it's just weird enough and just, well, not just. Like, it is just weird enough that it still keeps me engaged, but also well-executed, creepy. It's got everything going for it.
But for me, it's not so weird that it's off-putting.
Exactly. There's enough normal, quote, stuff that happens where it's not just some weird thing. Now, to give you just a little bit of background, this is about it focuses mostly around one girl.
Mm-hmm.
God, what's her name? I'm just blanking on her name. Dani. And it focuses on her and what's kind of going on in her life and how she ends up going with some may or maybe not friends to a trip to celebrate a midsummer festival in
Sweden. So, Dani, I feel so bad for as a character.
Well, and this just hits you right off the... If you haven't seen the movie, it hits you from the beginning.
Yeah, so basically, Dani suffers extreme loss at the beginning. Her sister, Terry, suffers from some extreme mental health issues. And right in the opening scenes, essentially, Terry both commits suicide and also murders their parents in a, like...
Through carbon monoxide poisoning.
And
in typical Ari Aster fashion...
It's graphic.
It's graphic.
It lingers on the scenes. It makes you feel horrible for this person. It really... gets to your emotions.
That's just how we start the movie. Yeah. And then it just goes downhill from there.
And also, Dani has this absolute trash boyfriend. He's not supportive at all. He doesn't even really want to be with her. In the opening scenes, he's talking with his buddies about wanting to break up with her before all this horrible stuff happens
with her family. She calls him. He's so upset to even have to deal with her phone calls because she's, quote, so...
Dramatic
and emotional and needy.
Yeah.
It's just not great. But then the whole story really focuses on Dani kind of going through these weird experiences at a midsummer festival that one of the trash boyfriend friends takes them all out to in Sweden.
So the guy is Swedish and he invites this group of friends to Sweden to just take part in this festival. And they all go. Dani sort of reluctantly gets invited, but she does go. Honestly, for the better. She doesn't really do that badly. I mean, she has ups and downs there. But how do we say this? Dani basically becomes their queen.
Yeah, it becomes like the person that is celebrated at this festival.
All the others end up getting killed.
They all get killed
in
some capacity, and Dani even actually has the pleasure to send her boyfriend to be killed and, quote, sacrificed.
Yeah.
That's really fun. And again, you get to see a lot of graphic things that are just done in such a weird way. They kind of, I almost don't want to be rude about it, but like if you wanted to think of a creepy midsummer festival, they do a really good job of almost giving you everything that you thought it was going to be. Like, any weird thing, but then making it creepy, that's what they've done. People jumping off cliffs, people getting killed, people getting abducted, but all done in a creepy, weird way.
And they do the really cool thing in this movie of scary shit is happening in broad daylight in the in the beautiful Swedish hills.
Like rolling countryside.
Yeah, rolling countryside and gorgeous weather and bright sunny skies. And yet this horror is taking place around them. It's really clever. It's really well done.
Technically, it's really great. The shots are wonderful. There's some really cool visual effects, especially when people are high and on drugs.
Yeah.
There are some moments where they put stuff in tea or they do shrooms and
whatnot. There's some psychedelic drug moments.
But they the flowers that almost look like they're breathing.
Oh, it's a wonderful.
Really cool effect.
It's not cheesy at all.
No, and it's really well done. Music's really good. They mix a lot of like traditional music with
like
more
electronic
scores.
Yeah.
Works really well for this movie.
And the acting is on point. Like, everybody in it is so... You're sucked into the story. And you empathize with people, and you hate people that you're supposed to hate, and it's wonderful.
The only drawback that I have for this movie is just it is a little on the weird. Out. Like, it's unlike some other movies that we've watched. It isn't as realistic. Like, you very much are aware you are watching a movie.
You gotta be in the right mood to watch a strange movie like this. But, well, if you're in the mood to watch something good but also a little bizarre, this is your movie.
And if you're looking to maybe expand your horror movie horizons and you think that you might be okay with this type of content, definitely give this one a watch. It's definitely on our top picks.
It's anything but typical.
Yeah.
That's what we can say about Ari Aster. Anything but typical.
There's another person you think that's anything but typical.
God. Yeah.
Would you say M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
And the 2008 classic that comes in at number 4 on our bottom list?
The Happening.
Oh my God, it's such a bad.
Okay, guys, so I have a real love-hate relationship with M. Night Shyamalan. He does have some really good films. We know this. I know it's a little overdone, but The Sixth Sense was actually very good. We have to admit that, right?
It was well done.
Well,
and again, that's kind of what M. Night Shyamalan is known for, his twist endings.
Yes, so I did like The Sixth Sense. I enjoyed the recent one, The Visit. I thought that was actually really good.
Bad.
Cool
yeah.
twist. It was well done. But then there was a chunk in the middle. And The Happening is part of the
that.
Weird chunk in the middle.
And we picked it just for its content and just kind of, again, almost how disappointing
it is. It's dull.
It's dull the entire time.
Yeah.
And the thing that sucks, though, is like the opening... weird. It has that upside down
shot. Yeah, he kind of does that.
He loves
though.
Doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it gets you on edge at the very beginning. I think the score is a little dramatic if you ask
me. Okay, so the M. Night Shyamalan, like that upside down thing, became a little bit too much of a trope for me. Because that happens in the movie Devil, too. I don't know if you saw that one.
No, I didn't. But then I also know, like, Christopher Nolan stuff's been copying that, too, with, like, the whole Inception thing.
Yeah. Which I hope.
That doesn't become a thing.
Yeah.
Granted, like, it is well shot and it's cool, and it was kind of the first bout of movies that were starting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It does get you on edge a little bit. And I think, like, especially in the content, because especially if you don't know much about it, it starts off very normal. And that's the thing with M. Night Shyamalan movies, they end up very normal premise. It could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
And it starts to take a turn. So you start thinking if it almost starts playing into a pandemic, hashtag relatable content, or global biological warfare situation, there's essentially this thing that is causing people to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, I'm not saying that I want people to kill themselves in a dramatic way, but if you're watching that in a movie, the way that it happens is very weird.
Yeah.
Like, they almost pick very strange ways for people to be killing themselves.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Like, I remember the one in particular is, like, an old lady is, like, crocheting or knitting, and she just stops and, like, stabs this, like, knitting needle into her throat. And I'm like, it's very bizarre. And essentially, just again, if you haven't seen it, don't bother. It's the whole point of it is that the plants on Earth,
they're killing them,
are killing people by this chemical that they're releasing.
And it's almost like the whole point of it in the end is, like, it's the Earth's way of resetting the balance. We killed the Earth for so long, so now the Earth is gonna kill people.
But unfortunately,
and I'm like,
that could be a good premise, but
I get the social commentary on that. I do, but it's so like in your face.
Unfortunately, they got not the greatest leads for it. It was Zooey Deschanel and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Ugh. And you know what? I've liked both of those people in different movies.
In different roles. Yeah. They're not bad actors.
But for some reason, together in that movie,
it was so dull.
Oh my God, it was a garbage fire.
Oh my.
Look, I don't know if you guys have heard about this article in the New York Times about honeybees vanishing. Well, apparently, honeybees are disappearing all over the country. Tens of millions of them just disappearing. There's no bodies, no sign of them. They're just mysteriously gone.
He sounded like every single one of his lines was asking a question.
Well, and
like a silly Valley girl. It was silly.
And Zooey Deschanel's character had just no personality.
No personality, which just, is weird for Zooey Deschanel. Because
she's always so full of personality.
Yes, like.
And I'm not saying that, like, yeah, maybe that personality didn't fit and this is what they were going for, but that's part of the problem with the movie, is that it basically gets up this, like, you're thinking that you're going to get this, like, sharp.
This great, shocking ending.
Or, like, it's going to really peak, but it just kind of, like, rises, it starts off, and then just stays there.
And you're like, oh, it's the plants.
And then it ends. But then starts again somewhere else. And I'm like, wait, but wasn't this supposed to be happening all over Earth?
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
It's not even so much the premise I dislike. It's just that the story doesn't go anywhere.
It's the execution of the story. It has some potential.
Yeah. Oh, and then my other one, too, in that scene is where they're out in the big field and they all get, like, run over. Like, one person is, like, operating this giant lawnmower. Mm. Again, I think, and that's the other problem too, like majority of the movie is just spent with you watching people get killed in different ways. That's all it, and it's not even that gory. It's just like, man, are these like just the silly ways they thought people could be killed?
It almost gets into a slapstick
almost
kind of moment. Like you're like, okay, this
and
is...
that's not something you expect in a horror movie.
No.
And just after like basically for after the first 20 minutes, it just stays stagnant the whole way.
It's trying to take itself so seriously, but then it's not because it shows you all these silly ways that people are dying. And you're like, well, which is it? Like, is it funny or is it serious? But they're trying to be serious. Again, with that social commentary of, like, oh, we killed the Earth and now the Earth is killing us.
The Earth's taking their revenge. Oh my goodness.
No.
Just give me some more interesting content and then we'll talk.
Yeah, back to our good list.
Number three...
The Shining.
What a classic.
Yeah. So we did a whole review on this, so we're not going to talk about this really that much.
You already know our full feelings on it.
Yeah. It came out in 1980, directed classic by Stanley Kubrick. It was based off of Stephen King's novel, The Shining. However, it did have a decent diversion, especially the end. But let's just say it, like, we both love it. If you haven't seen it, I don't know why you haven't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, See it.
It's a good movie. Great. Especially, again, do keep in mind, it is a 1980s production.
Yeah.
It is going to have those technical issues.
Well, and filmed in the 70s, so it has that real 70s wash to it.
Right, but in terms of the content and the way it's executed,
it's
really good mix, and it has like the bit of a twist ending there.
Yeah.
It's got everything we're looking for. So that's why it comes in at number three for us. Let's go to our number three on the other list.
Oh, man. Okay.
Are you ready for this? Not to be confused with what we're doing on our next episode, which is coming, by the way.
Yes.
Blair Witch 2.
Book of Shadows. Okay. So this came out in the year 2000. It is directed by...
Joe Berlinger, which I don't think was the same guy as the original Blair Witch.
No, it was not. And... you can tell, not to be confused by the reboot of The Blair Witch, which we actually both really enjoy. Mm-hmm. We will likely do a
later review on that one after our Blair Witch Project original comes out.
Yes, which is next episode. So I love The Blair Witch Project. We're going to talk about that because we've got a good little discussion about that one.
You just ruined our next episode.
I don't...
Now they don't know about our opinions. You just ruined it for them. That's okay. They'll find out anyways.
Well, anyway. It was good. We'll discuss further later. This, however, this garbage heap of a movie is so loosely connected to The Blair Witch. It's awful. It's practically unwatchable. It is almost so bad that I almost recommend somebody watch it
just for how bad it is. Like, you want to watch a garbage movie, here you go.
I mean, you know what they were doing. It was a cash grab. They saw how successful the Blair Witch Project was and the great positive reception that it got. And they thought, you know what? We're going to capitalize on this. Let's make a little sequel. Right? Now, you never saw this one.
No, this is actually one of the few that I haven't seen.
Okay.
So I'll have to let you talk about this one.
All right. The very brief synopsis of this movie is that it is taking place, I think, in present day. So it's supposed to take place sometime in the year 2000. And what happens is that it's a group of friends, college age, who go to tour the land that's very close to the Blair Witch Project territory. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially what happens is that they end up staying with this person, and I had to look up the name because I couldn't remember the name of this person, the character's name. It was Rustin Parr. So they go to stay at Rustin Parr's house and to tour the land, and basically they are Blair Witch fanatics for various reasons. And they have, oh my god, you would hate it. They have all the silly horror tropes. They've got like a jockey and preppy couple.
No.
And then they have this really artsy girl that actually self-identifies as a Wiccan.
Yeah, I'm not down with this movie already.
No. And then they've got a goth chick.
Of course, it's the year 2000.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got these, you know, this kooky cast of characters, and they go up to this land to...
And hilarity ensues.
Yeah, well... I don't know. So basically what happens is they wake up after the first night, and they can't remember what has happened overnight. That's the whole premise of it. And they all have all of these cameras and recording equipment, and they go back and review what has happened on the cameras, and they see all this craziness has happened. There was, like, mini orgies taking place, and people are cut and bloody, and someone is missing, and they basically find out that they killed this girl.
Your camping trips aren't always like that?
No, our camping trips are like going to Algonquin Park and forgetting a blanket.
We did that. Whoops.
It was terrible. It's really bad. It's just a really bad movie. It's really, really badly done.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
I was waiting for more.
No, the whole point of it is them, like, figuring out...
What they did last summer?
Yeah, like the, I know what you did last night kind of thing. It happens a couple of nights in a row. Like, there's a couple nights where they lose their memory. It's awful. There's a very loose tie-in. And when I say very loose, I mean
basically it was just near the property.
Very loose tie-in to the Blair Witch. I think they pin it on the goth chick. Hell, I can't remember. This is how awful it was. It was so bad. They tried to pin it on somebody, and they tried to say that she was like possessed or taken over by the Blair Witch, and the Blair Witch killed people through somebody.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Let's go to something better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the idea of hauntings, our number two is going to be on the top list, The Conjuring.
Yes.
And we are talking about the original Conjuring, not the whole universe.
Yeah. We'd love to do, and likely we will plan to do
a bit of discussion on that Conjuring universe and what we do and don't like. Because there are some movies that we're not huge fans of.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of The Nun. That was pretty bad.
But the original...
The ending was great.
The original Conjuring
is really well done.
We really do like it. And the reason it bumped up to number two, there are many reasons we bumped it up to number two.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you that don't know too much about The Conjuring, you should watch it. It's really good. It's really creepy. They've actually even done some TV shows of this actual event because this is based on a, quote, true recollection of events that had occurred.
Yes.
So this is about a family that bought this house in the States. I can't remember if it was in Connecticut or Vermont. It was somewhere in the New England-ish area.
Yep.
And they start experiencing weird things in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to come up with all these logical explanations as to what's going on, but they just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they call on the advice of real couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are, both of them are unfortunately deceased now, but at the time they were very popular supernatural investigators.
Yeah.
And they would make house calls occasionally and try to figure out, and like, they do a really good job because they did actually go into people's homes and discredit a lot of untrue, quote, yeah, hauntings. They went in, yeah, and said, like, no, these are just pipes. They were never the people that, you know, you see in horror films that are like, yeah, you need a seance and we need a Ouija board to go talk to spirits. No,
yeah,
they were very much like, the demonic world is not something you mess with, and we only want to do it if absolutely necessary.
Yeah, very interesting couple, like, very interesting real-life couple. How they got their first notoriety, again, for any horror fans out there, is through the Amityville Horror Story.
Yeah.
That's really where Ed and Lorraine Warren became more well-known. What happened with that was that they were called in after the second family moved into the Amityville house. Yeah. They were one of the first people to do a televised
seance,
yeah, I guess. I think that's the way you call it. The Amityville horror family, the people who actually lived in the house, also wrote a book, and they were the people who sold the rights to their book to Hollywood to create a movie.
Now, getting back to the Conjuring universe, mm-hmm, so now we know a little bit about Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. So now this family has contacted them to see what's going on in their house, and they find out that there is a lot wrong with their house.
Yeah, there's so
and
much.
The real-life true story about this is they did have a police crew come in. They had some, and Ed and Lorraine Warren actually have a crew, like a camera crew,
yeah,
that came in and videotaped. This is one of the few times that they've actually videotaped and took pictures, mm-hmm, of unexplained phenomenon that even to this day people cannot credit or discredit.
Yeah, and I will say that the movie is Hollywood. Okay, so the movie is the Hollywood.
The movie,
right,
is a Hollywood fictional,
yes,
based on real life events. Like these things did not happen verbatim the way that,
exactly,
you are seeing them on the movie.
And that's fine. We know that that's how.
But the creepy thing about it is that the things that
did happen are very creepy.
Very creepy. And the fact that they captured it and made it into a Hollywood movie that keeps you on edge and is still somewhat loosely based in
reality,
some type
I
of
guess.
Reality that someone experienced
now
is terrifying.
Yeah. Now, if you want to really, truly terrify yourself, for anybody who's actually seen this movie or who knows about the Conjuring universe, go and find the real footage. That is some creepy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that...
Especially even into
The
chills. Conjuring 2, where they actually did.
Yeah.
And that was the one in the UK,
England,
in England, yeah. Where they did actually televise and film the whole. Oh, not televise, but they filmed
everything.
A large
they
section
jumped.
Of it. So it's
yeah.
very strange because like the Warrens were very big on making.
Documenting.
Yeah, documenting and showing people that, in their mind, this is real.
Lorraine Warren only passed away just a couple years ago. I believe it's 2 years ago now. And in their home, in their personal home, they had all these artifacts and objects that they had taken from various people's homes over the years, decades, that they believed that the objects were
possessed or linked or conduits to lead to possession
demons.
To demons.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Even after they both passed away, there were actually clauses written in their wills for who gets these artifacts. And not because they are valuable.
To some extent,
to
yes.
some extent. But not because of their value necessarily,
but because they believe they are a danger
yeah.
if not kept improperly.
Yeah, and who would be able to properly look after them and respect them in a way. So there's a couple of like other notable people in America that have, you know, some TV shows about these things. And some of those artifacts are in the process of being divided up amongst those people to be protected.
Now,
it's interesting.
Yeah. So, sorry for the little ad lib there. We're just very much into the Warren family and kind of what the work they've done.
Just the real life people are interesting.
And that's why we put this movie so high up.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of not making a cheesy Hollywood movie about real events and real people and things
yeah.
that they believed in and things that they truly witnessed. And yes,
yeah.
to an extent,
yes.
it is Hollywood.
Yes.
So don't take everything literally in what
yeah.
you are seeing.
Yeah.
Especially, again, later movies in the Conjuring universe. Like, again,
mm-hmm.
The Nun.
Yeah.
Nun's probably our least favorite.
Yeah.
But that being said, The Conjuring is a really creepy story when you really think about the Warrens went there
mm-hmm.
and did this, like, did these things.
Yeah.
And that's creepy. It's creepy shit.
It's good. watch it. Scare yourself.
Yeah. Something a little less scary, also in the haunting world, is The Haunting, the remake.
The remake. The 1999 Jan de Bont remake. Because I have to preface all of this by saying that the original Haunting movie is chef's kiss fabulous. I love it. I think
even used it as a clip from our last episode.
Yeah. It is so well done. It's this dark, like, film noir, gothic awesomeness. And it is a true psychological thriller in that you don't know what's going on. You don't know if the main character is crazy. And you don't know if there really is a haunting. And there's all this...
Oh, that sounds similar.
It's excellent.
Sounds something similar to what we reviewed.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is excellent. It is so well done. However, this movie that we're talking about, the 1999 remake of The Haunting, is so bad, folks. It's so bad. And here's why I hate it so much. The biggest thing is the CGI is distractingly bad.
What, you mean late 90s CGI was not good?
Oh, man. It's in the era where they thought CGI was so cool and they're going to do all this stuff with it. And, oh man, has it aged badly. Yeah. It has aged really badly. So, a very brief synopsis of this movie. The main character is named Eleanor. It is posed in a strange way, different from the original. So, Eleanor sees an ad in the newspaper for insomniacs. And she answers this ad to basically be part of a clinical study. Okay? You're with me so far, yeah. Right? It's not terrible. However, where do they bring this group of insomniacs to study their poor sleep? Oh, well, to a big creepy mansion that is haunted, no less. I mean, does that help you sleep? Why would that ever be a good premise? In the old story, they just tell you what's up. They're not there under some strange guise of a sleep study, which, by the way, in the remake, it's not even a real sleep study. They're actually, the doctor is studying fear and not telling them.
But they can't do that in a clinical study.
No, they can't.
Coming from someone that's done clinical studies.
But here we are in this horribly premised movie. So anyway, this doctor, Dr. Marrow, I think. Ooh, don't kill me, people, if it's wrong. He gets people up to this creepy house. And Eleanor is the main character. This doctor has his assistant there, you know, taking, like, notes and things. And there are two other main characters played by Catherine Zeta-Jones and Luke Wilson.
Why?
Yes, because your guess is as good as mine. Catherine Zeta-Jones, I actually find she does probably the best job, aside from Mrs. Dudley, shout out to my last episode, of getting the essence of the original character. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's no question. This is a really bad part of it. Where in the old movie, there was a question on, is Eleanor just crazy? Is she making it up? Is this...
really a haunting.
Really a haunting. Yeah. You don't know. It's shot so cleverly with zero effects, of course, because it's a movie set in the 1950s, that you're just left to your own imagination, and isn't that the most scary thing, right? Whereas in the 1999 remake, there's zero left to the imagination.
Because they want to show you everything with CGI.
They just want to show you everything with CGI, and they show you this, oh my god, this absolutely cheeseball ghost. The main ghost, the big Papa Daddy ghost, is so cheesy. Hugh Crane is the ghost's name, because, of course, they have a whole backstory and everything.
Oh, man.
He was the owner of the manor, and he was this evil person, and he killed his wife or two wives and a shit ton of their children. Like, anyway, he's a bad guy. So this guy is the main ghost that is haunting Eleanor, and it has the cheesiest tie-in basically, at the very end, you're kind of wondering, like, why Eleanor? Because, like, that's the one thing that they sort of left right up until the very end. So the children in the house, the ghost children in the house, are trying to save Eleanor, and the Hugh Crane ghost is trying to kill Eleanor or keep her there. And at the end, you discover that Eleanor is related to Hugh Crane. That's the whole thing. That's so it. She basically is like,
I'm gonna kill you.
It's not about them. It's about family. It's always been about family. It's about Carolyn and the children from the mill, so you could hear their voices. Family. Well, I'm family, Grandpa, and I've come home.
And she decides to sacrifice herself to save the children.
Okay.
It's awful. It's so bad.
Now, before we get into the worst of the worst and the best of the best, we are going to give you guys a few honorable mentions.
And
some dishonorable mentions. So our honorable mentions here, just because they didn't really meet our criteria, or we just didn't really... You know, they're all kind of on the same level, and we couldn't make them all fit into a top five.
I mean, you just have to start picking, you have to start ranking, right?
You gotta start ranking.
At a certain place.
So, some honorable mentions here, definitely things you guys should see. We're not going to spend too much time on them, but very quickly.
And that we might do full reviews on
later.
The future.
Definitely take a look at the Haunting of Hill House series.
Oh, yeah, it was
really good series. I really hope they come up with season two, because season one was really good.
Yeah.
Not too long, not too dreary, but... Mm-hmm. Enough content to scare the shit out of you.
Just the right amount of scares and not too cheesy.
Yeah.
It was well done.
Get Out.
Great movie.
Great. And again, if you wanted political content, get political content there.
The same with Us by the same...
Yes.
The same
Us is very good.
Director.
A little weirder.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely worth a watch.
Yep.
And finally, our last honorable mention is The Babadook.
Oh.
Which I know is kind of everyone's favorite. We left it out for that reason. Everyone kind of still knows it's good.
Everyone loves... I know that it makes a lot of people's top lists, which is why we can't
throw it in ours. We've got to be creative here.
You got to be different. You got to do something
different.
We're
artists, fun, of course.
creators.
Yes, we're content makers.
Yes.
Our dishonorable mentions. I'll let you take this one.
Okay, our dishonorable mentions. The entire Final Destination series.
I can't even say it's one
movie or... any subsequent sequel, it's all terrible.
They're all bad.
They're all garbage. Now, the reason that we didn't, like, harp on it in our bottom five list was that
they're
kind
bordering
of edging
between a B-level movie.
Yeah, they're kind of edging into a B-movie for
it's
me.
It's like, they're so bad that that's why people watch them.
Yeah. Having said that, they're terrible.
Yeah, so don't watch it.
Yeah.
Next.
The Wicker Man remake with Nicolas Cage.
What is it? Oh no! No! Not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! Oh no! My eyes!
So it's silly. Okay, and again, if you're talking about comparing,
again, you can't make a remake and make it silly. It has to be at least as good.
Here's the other thing I don't get. People's obsession in the 90s, late 90s, with making these remakes. The original was really good. Why are you ruining the original? The original Wicker Man is weird and creepy and culty, and it is fantastic. And the Wicker Man remake, it took a big old poop on the old Wicker Man. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. And I think it was in the series of the time of poor Nicolas Cage just needs some money.
Our next dishonorable mention?
Becky.
It's a new movie. Don't bother seeing it. It does not live up to the hype. It's basically just a really long chase scene.
Yeah, it's a really long chase scene. You think it's going to go in a few interesting places.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Just don't bother.
Essentially, there's these prison dudes. They break out of prison and they...
A 12-year-old girl kills them.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
It's disappointing.
We have two more left. We have The Hunt. Similar problem. It just... weird political content with not much content. Yeah. It's just, again, someone who's just trying to escape from this weird game that has no context.
Yeah, it's very predictable as well.
Don't bother. There are better movies out there.
Don't bother.
And lastly, we had to include it. Tim Curry classic, the original It.
The It series. Oh, man, it's bad.
Is everything all right?
Yes. Last chance, Tasha. Get out before it gets dark tonight. You're too old to stop me. You're all too old.
Mike Hammond, if you see...
Excuse me, sir. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? You do? Well, you better let the poor guy out.
Mike Hanlon, did I have to get...
It makes me laugh every single time I hear it. I cannot stop laughing when I hear his hilarious laughter. It's just, it's contagious.
All right, now here we go. Here we go. We're going to start at the bottom.
Big drum roll.
Big drum roll for our absolute worst movie so far that we can rank.
The Turning.
If you couldn't gather that from our last review.
I mean, we already went on the whole rant about it. It's so unfortunate.
It had so much potential.
It had the budget. It had the actors.
And the reason we put it in number one was it just had the biggest disappointment for us.
Yeah. Availability to disappointment ratio.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just terrible.
Like, it
expectation
was
to reality.
So good. And mm-hmm. It kept you intrigued. And then it just threw you off a cliff. Like, it should have just killed you at the end.
Yeah.
It would have been better that way.
Yeah. And our number one absolute favorite
is
Hereditary.
Yeah, it's
no surprise. Again, I know we're a little bit predictable in this list here, Matt, but it is a near perfect horror movie, which I find is hard to do.
It is. And if you want our full in-depth review on that, go check it out on the podcast.
It's... Yeah, and if you haven't watched it, please watch it. It is
It's got everything.
Phenomenal.
Contrary to The Turning, it's got twists. It has turns. And it has really good production value. And it's weird and creepy.
It's scary.
It keeps you on edge. You just don't know where it's going.
It's one of those movies that stuck with me for sure.
Yeah.
I still think about it as just a very terrifying end sequence, which we've talked about, you know, ad nauseum in our full overview. But we couldn't leave it off this list, even in the short list.
We had to give it a number one. It was just, that was our top pick for any movie we've watched. We hope you enjoyed this list. We understand you may not agree. These are our thoughts. If you want to hear more of our opinions, stay tuned.
Yeah.
We promise we're going to get to the Blair Witch. It is coming up.
We just really want to do it some justice. We've got a fun guest speaker to talk with us about this one.
Just this week didn't work out scheduling-wise. Mm-hmm. We wanted to give you guys an episode this week, so we're gonna work on getting you the proper Blair Witch episode for our next episode.
Exactly.
So thanks again so much for joining us once again
on Dark Room Reviews.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can? You do? Well, you better let the poor guy out!